have a message I want to share with you today entitled Going the Distance. Has anyone ever heard the name Billy Graham? Could I see your hand if you've heard the name Billy Graham? Some of you need to get out a little more and learn some of these names. All of us, of course, have heard the name Billy Graham. Billy Graham started his evangelistic ministry in 1945 when he was in his 20s. He was in his mid-20s. 1945, well, that's going back a ways, right? I mean, he just passed away. He was 90-something years old, just passed away last year. Now, let me ask you another question of some other names. Have you ever heard the name Chuck Templeton? I'm talking preachers here. Have you ever heard a preacher by the name of Chuck Templeton? Anybody ever heard that name? 1945. How about the name Bron Clifford? Another preacher's name from 1945. Anybody ever heard that name? We haven't heard those names, right? But all three of these men came out of the gates in 1945 as powerful preachers of the gospel. In 1945, powerful preachers. A seminary president heard a man by the name of Chuck Templeton preach the gospel, and he called him the most gifted preacher of his day. Now think about it. This is the era of Billy Graham. Called him the most gifted preacher of his day. Bron Clifford, at age 25, preached to a full auditorium of thousands of people in Miami, Florida. Bron Clifford preached what has been termed a very profound message to the student body of Baylor University, entitled Christ and the Philosopher's Stone. Three very powerful evangelists, but only one of them became famous and was recognized by presidents. How about the other two? Let's zero in on these other two preachers, evangelists, very gifted orators, all came out of the gates and appeared on the scene in 1945. So let's kind of have a little history lesson here today. Because this man, Chuck Templeton, who the seminary president said was the most gifted preacher that he ever heard in his day, Chuck Templeton left the ministry 5 years later to pursue a career in radio and television. It wasn't too long after that that he decided that he was no longer a believer in Jesus Christ, that he no longer believed the claims of Jesus Christ, and no longer believed that the Bible was the Word of God. But yet, seminary professor said the most gifted preacher that he'd ever heard. Bron Clifford lost his ministry, his family, and his health because of alcoholism and died from cirrhosis of the liver at age 35. 35. Just think about that. I mean, these gifted men. But yet, only one went the distance. Two others did not. So that's why I want to talk to you today about going the distance. Because not everybody that starts finishes. Are y'all with me? Not everybody that starts finishes. I want to share some statements from Paul's letter to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Listen to what Paul says. He says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the grill?" Nice dance, Eric. He says, only one receives the prize. So run your race. Personalize it. He says, your race, that you may lay hold of the prize and make it yours. Now, every athlete who goes into training conducts himself temperately and restricts himself in all things. They do it to win a wreath that will soon wither. But we do it to receive a crown of eternal blessedness that cannot wither. Therefore, I do not run uncertainly without definite aim. I do not box like one beating the air and striking without an adversary, but like a boxer, I buffet my body. I like to always kind of throw a joke that Paul says that he buffets his body. How many of you like a good buffet? Man, a good seafood buffet, If you've ever been to the Brazilian steakhouse, I don't know if you'd call that a buffet necessarily, but they come around with all of those slabs of meat and, man, just slicing it off. I mean, you got filet mignon steak, you got lamb, you got cordon bleu chicken, you got sirloin. I mean, if you are a meat lover, you feel like you just died and went to heaven. Because, man, it is the place to buffet your body. But Paul wasn't talking about that. He said, but like a boxer, he said, I buffet my body. That means he disciplines it. He said, I handle it roughly. I discipline it by hardships. And I subdue it to fear that after proclaiming to others the gospel and things pertaining to it, I myself should become unfit, not stand the test, be unapproved, and rejected as a counterfeit. In other words, what he was saying is, as a preacher of the gospel, my life has to line up with the message. But that does not just happen automatically. It takes effort. That's why he says, I buffet my body. I discipline it. I bring it through hardship. I subdue it. Because he understood that we are all in a race. So what a great verse. And it really challenges us that we can go the distance, but it's going to take some energy to go the distance. It doesn't happen automatically. So as we get started today, I want to give you three things to consider for going the distance. And on Father's Day, I want to really lay this mantle at the feet of the men. Because regardless of what our culture is saying, regardless of the message that we hear through all the different avenues and different voices that are speaking, God has called men to be leaders. To be leaders in the home, leaders in our families, leaders in the local church. And this mantle, my friend, of going the distance is laid at our feet. Now, of course, it applies to all of us. But I really want you to take hold of what Paul is teaching. Some of my favorite books of the Bible are 1 and 2 Timothy. They are two of my favorite New Testament letters because they are loaded with truth. When I say loaded, they are loaded with truth. And his message, Timothy was a young pastor. And biblical history tells us that, like these men that we use in the introduction here today, Graham and Templeton and Clifford, they all entered the ministry in their 20s, came out of the gates, on fire for God in their mid-20s. We are told by biblical history that Timothy was pastoring and leading the church at Ephesus when he was about 26 or 27 years of age. So he was a young man, and he was Paul's son in the faith. Paul was his spiritual father. So he gives him some tremendous advice of how to go the distance. And that's why they are some of my favorite books of the Bible. And just loaded with truth and good instruction. And how many of you know we need good instruction? So I want to visit that today. And I want to give you three things to consider for going the distance. First of all, there will be situations in life. How many of you know that? If you've ever been in a situation. Okay, well, some of you have been in situations. Maybe in a situation right now. Have you ever been in financial trouble? Well, you were in a situation. Have you ever had a health issue? Sick in your body? Well, you were in a situation. Have you ever had an argument with someone? You were in a situation. Life is full of situations. So three things to consider for going the distance. First of all, number one, there will be situations. All right, so Paul tells Timothy, and one of the translations of this verse of 2 Timothy 4, 5, it uses the word situation. And we read in this verse, this is in the Amplified Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, Paul is telling Timothy that whatever you deal with, whatever you go through, or 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, whatever you deal with, whatever you go through, this is what you must do. He says, be calm and cool and steady. Accept and suffer unflinchingly every hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fully perform all the duties of your ministry. He was giving him guidance. But that really stands out when he says, stay calm, cool, and steady. Because life is full of situations that are going to demand our attention. And they will also require decisions. We have to make decisions in life. As we go through this journey of life, all the time we are confronted with making decisions. And I've said this before, I've said it 1,000 times, I'll say it again today. Everybody is where they are in life, whether they like where they are or they don't like where they are, based upon a series of choices and decisions they have made along the way. Because life is full of situations. All right, so Paul wanted Timothy to understand that. Get that message. You are going to deal with situations. And in the midst of all of them, stay calm, stay cool, and remain steady. Hallelujah. And if you will do that, God is going to direct you. He's going to guide you. He's going to lead you along the way. So he says, just keep pushing forward. Because notice what he says. Do the work of an evangelist. Perform all the duties of your ministry. In other words, keep advancing. Don't go back. Through every circumstance, every situation, every trial, every hardship, just keep going. Just keep going. Amen? Just keep going. How many of you know life might throw you some curves, but just keep going? You might deal with some setbacks, but just keep going. Three things to consider to go the distance. There's going to be situations. Stay calm, stay cool, remain steady. So just keep going, and everything's going to be all right. All right, here's the second thing. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. We must keep a close watch on our life and our belief system. You got to watch it. You got to keep it under guard. Listen to what he said to Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:16. He says, keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Now, the original King James Bible says doctrine, uses the word doctrine. The word doctrine simply means good, sound, healthy instruction. If we follow good, sound, healthy instruction, our lives are going to be on a strong foundation. We're going to be solid people. And we are living in a world where there is a lot of instability. We are surrounded by weak people. We are surrounded by unstable people. James says that an unstable man is double-minded in all of his ways. Or a double-minded man, excuse me, is unstable in all of his ways. You know, if he doesn't have his belief system solidified, and there's a lot of things that are assaulting us today that are telling us how to think, what to believe, how to talk. Are y'all with me? Amen? Listen, we don't need that instruction. You know, we need to get what God says in his word. So he says, keep close watch on how you live and on your teaching, the instruction. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. See, when you walk it out, people are taking notice. Because your salvation is a testimony that will provide the salvation of others. That's what he's saying. So, three things to consider to go to distance. There's going to be situations. You have to stay calm, cool, and steady. Keep a close watch on your life. That's why we must always gauge where we are spiritually. You might be here today, and you might be in a spiritual mess. You may not necessarily be in any blatant sinful lifestyle. You might simply just be void of any level of spirituality. Just the things of this world may have just weighed you down, influenced you. You might just be trying to balance everything, and your relationship with God is in the gutter. Your spiritual life is so messed up, you don't even have any wisdom, guidance, or direction to know how to move forward. That might be you today. But I'm here to tell you, my friends, that you can have a change and you can have it today. Hallelujah. Keep a close watch on your life. That's what he says. Keep a close watch on how you live, how you're living, and on what you are believing, your belief system. Unfortunately, Chuck Templeton did not do that. He may have had all of this gift and all of this talent and all of this ability, but he did not go the distance. Bron Clifford had all of this gifting from God, but he allowed himself to be derailed by alcoholism to die a young death at age 35. How many are being derailed today from going the distance? It doesn't happen automatically, my friend. Three things we have to consider to go the distance. Here, let me move on to the third thing. The road to obedience is a long one. Why is that? Because it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's a marathon. We are in it for the long distance run. Do we have any runners here today? Anybody like to jog? Some of y'all, not too many joggers, huh? Okay, we got a few, got some. I one time took up jogging, and then I read that verse in Proverbs where it says, the wicked run when no one's chasing them. And I said, well, it looks like a good reason right there to give up running. Hallelujah. Yeah. But if you're a runner, if you've ever done a long distance run, you have to pace yourself, right? You can't just run full steam ahead because it's a long distance run. The road to obedience, my friends, is a long one. to go the distance for God, you have to keep going in the same direction for a long time. I'm amazed, you know, that I've been serving God now for 42 years. I'm amazed that, you know, that Becky and I got married in 1979. I'm amazed that we were ordained into ministry in 1983. I became a member of the minister's organization, Worldwide Evangelism, that we have been a part of and were credentialed under since 1983. That's a long time. And we have been going for God for quite a while now. But we're still on the road. Amen. We could still be derailed. There's still things that could come in. So we have to keep watch, because the road to obedience is a long one, and the road to disobedience is a short one. Jesus understood that. He taught his disciples when he said, there's two paths. He taught them there's two paths. He said, straight and narrow is the path that leads to life. And he said, few that choose it. And then he said, broad and wide is the path that leads to destruction. And he said, many will go that way. True words. Three important things to consider to go the distance. There's going to be situations in life. Stay calm, cool, steady. Keep watch on your life and your belief system. Make sure it's rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Stay in the local church, my friend. Stay under the preaching and the authority of the Word of God. That's why the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. We need the encouragement. We need faith to be elevated in our lives. So keep close watch on your life and your belief system. And realize the road to obedience is a long one. You have to keep going the same direction for a long, long time. Every time we travel to Texas and go visit family in Texas, you know, when you cross that border going into Texas, I know the kids just got back from kids camp. The youth are going tomorrow. They leave for youth camp, and they're going to go to Texas. And you know, they'll see that sign, because when you pass that, when you cross that border, you go over that little bridge, and not too long, you'll see that sign. It says, "Welcome to Texas," right? And they have the Dallas Cowboys star. We always throw eggs when we see that, but no, we don't. We love everybody. Amen. We love them all. Not really. But it sounds better. But then you'll pass that, you're going to see another sign. And that sign will say, El Paso, Texas, 857 miles. That's a long way. 857 miles. Long distance. So you got to be in it for the long haul. Amen? And God will help you. He will help you. So I want you to consider those three things. Get that in your spirit and don't forget it. All right, now let me go to the nitty-gritty of the message, because I want to give you some action points. I want to give you four action points to go the distance. Now, when we have action points, that means that we have to act. Hello, somebody. We have to do something. We have to do something with it. So I want to give you four action points to help you go the distance. Listen to what Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 and verse 12. He gives him, again, instruction for the long haul. So he's been warning him and teaching him about all of these things that he would be confronted with, all of these situations. So he warned him about sexual indiscretion, because sexual indiscretion is a situation. Hello, somebody. Amen. He warned him about false teachers, those who would influence the mind to believe things that were contrary to the Word of God. Those also are situations. He warned him about the love of money. I've heard so many times people will say, Pastor, you know the Bible does say that money is the root to all evil. I say, oh, wait a minute. So that's not what it says, right? Because money is neutral. Money can be used for good. Money can be used for bad. Amen? We need money to build churches. We need money to pour parking lots. We need money to do ministry. Amen? We need money to fish, to buy boats, and trolling motor. Money is a great thing, right? Money can't buy me love, but it can buy me crawfish. And that's the next best thing. Right? Come on, somebody. Yeah. But money can also corrupt people. Right? So the Bible says it is the love of money that is the root to all people. Or the root to all evil. Yeah. Root to all people. So Paul is warning Timothy about all of these danger areas, things that would keep him from going the distance. Are y'all with me? See, we must be aware of things that will keep us from going the distance because it doesn't happen automatically. So let's look at these four things real quick today of what Paul told Timothy was necessary to go the distance. All right, so he says in verse 11, it's 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. He says, but you, O man of God, flee these things. What things? The things I just mentioned. Sexual indiscretion, love of money, false teachers, you know, situation, all the situations that life will throw at us. He says, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. All right, so he is telling him, first of all, number one, flee from the world's seduction. The world tries to seduce us. The spirit of the world tries to seduce us. Now, real men don't flee, do they? It's a question to consider. Imagine a football coach telling his team before the game, listen, guys, the men on the other team, they are big and they are tough. When they come at you, I want you to hightail it and skedaddle. Could you imagine a football coach telling his team that? You know, to flee, to run from the enemy, from the opposition. I mean, even Kenny Rogers in the country song, he said, you got to know when to hold them and you got to know when to fold them. He said that. He said, you got to know when to walk away and you got to know when to run. He said that in the song. Now, I'm not endorsing gambling. Come on, somebody. Because I know that's a song about gambling, right? I'm not endorsing gambling. But, I mean, even Kenny Rogers knew there's a time you have to run. You have to flee from the world system. There are several things that Paul, in his writings, instructed the church, the members of the body of Christ, areas that they must run away from, they must flee from. He said, first of all, flee from immorality. We have to flee from that. You have to run away from immorality. If there is something in the world's system or someone who is under the world's spirit and there is a seduction that is trying to draw you into immorality, man, you got to run away from that. He said, flee from immorality. Run away from it. Then we find a verse where he said, flee idolatry. Anything that would take the place of your relationship with God. Anything that would hinder your relationship with God. Anything that would become an idol. You have to flee from idolatry. Then he said, flee from lustful things. He said, flee from the run away from lust. Things that will entice you. Things that will cause you to lust. You have to flee from that because all of it is part of the world system, the world's seduction. And then he said, flee from the love of money. The love of money. Run away from it. Don't let it derail you. You are in a long distant run. And all of these things will work to derail you, to keep you from going the distance. Think of these men. One allowed, these men that I mentioned in the introduction. You know, Billy Graham went on to become, you know, this incredible, incredible man of God, doing all of the crusades for as long as he did them, leading multitudes and multitudes to Christ. How many could have been added to the kingdom through the ministry of Chuck Templeton or through the ministry of Bron Clifford? I mean, their story could have been so different, but it wasn't because they did not go the distance. They were derailed by these things that Paul warned Timothy, run away from these things. Flee from the world's seduction. Four action points. So there's sometimes, my friends, you got to run. You got to get out of there. I'm always reminded of the story of David when he saw, you know, that beautiful woman sunbathing on the roof right across from his window. And, you know, David became a peeping Tom that day. And he was seduced by her beauty. That's what the Bible says. He allowed himself to get drawn into an adulterous affair. And, you know, and then he had to repent of that. And you know, thank God that he did repent. And he still finished strong for God. You know, but he failed. He got derailed there. Then I think of Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. And then because of the sovereignty of God, God was with Joseph. And then promoted him to a high position in the kingdom of Egypt, of all places. You know, and then he was serving under the prime minister, Potiphar. And was over all of his, he was managing all of Potiphar's affairs. Well, Potiphar's wife had her eyes upon Joseph. And she tried to seduce him sexually. And Joseph was having none of it. You know, and every day it was getting more intense and more intense. And finally, he just ran out of there. And she grabbed his coat, and when he was running, it ripped. She had a piece of it, and then she accused him of attempting to rape her. But the Bible says the Lord was still with Joseph. Amen. So David did not run. He ran to it. Joseph ran from it. You know, so there are things that we must be aware of that we have to run from. You have to flee it. And Paul was trying to get that message to Timothy. All right, so the second thing is we have to pursue something. What do we pursue? We pursue godliness. What does that mean to pursue godliness? The word pursue, it simply means effort, diligence, and determination. You have to put forth effort, diligence, and you have to be determined. Pursue godliness. Here's a great definition of godliness. An awareness of God's presence. A godly man lives with an awareness of God's presence so that he fears God and he runs from sin. I remember when I got born again and Becky and her girls in the youth department, you know, they were going to Pontchartrain Beach, the amusement park, going way back in the day, right? Right there on the lake, had all those rides. You know, I looked at that. I was like, man, that's sin, you know? And I was like, y'all church girls, y'all nothing but a bunch of sinners. I ain't associating with y'all. She'll tell you that was exactly my attitude. She didn't like me too much. She really didn't. You know? But, I mean, they were just innocent. But they had not been exposed to what I had been exposed to. See, they didn't come out of what I had come out of. You know, so to me, everything, man, I looked at anything that even had a glimmer of fun, that had to be sin. And I, man, it would just be better to just stay away from it, you know. And Becky would say, it's just rides. It's not sin. Oh, yeah, it's sin. Trust me, it's sin. I ain't associating with y'all. Y'all will corrupt me. Y'all go. Go ahead. You know, now as I grew and matured and, you know, then I learned that, you know, not everything is sin. And you know, but that was just kind of how I saw it, you know. But you know, I had this incredible awareness of God's presence. See, when you get a supernatural touch of God, you do begin to kind of gauge everything and like, okay, Lord, is this okay with you? Or, you know, and if it was questionable, it's like, well, I'm going to leave it where it is. And, you know, because I'd rather err on the side of caution. Yeah. 1 John 3:7-8, it says, the one who practices righteousness is righteous, even as Christ is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil. I mean, I always took that literally, you know, but I was pursuing godliness. Listen, we must pursue godliness, effort, diligence, determination. Live with an awareness of his presence. And when you have that, you're going to know what to run away from. Let me give you the third thing right here. Then he said, fight the good fight of faith. How many of you know the devil is after your faith? Amen. He's always after your faith. So he said, fight the good fight of faith. What does that mean, the faith? It means the truth of God's word. Unfortunately, Chuck Templeton did not fight the good fight of faith. He did not stay rooted and grounded in the truth of God's word, and his mind became influenced by outside forces and took him out, derailed him from the plan and purpose of God for his life. So he is telling Timothy, you got to fight for the faith. You got to fight for the truths of Jesus Christ. Jude 1:3 says that we must earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. The word of God is under attack today. And we have to stand on the word of God. Stand for truth. Stand for righteousness. Stand for the word of God. Fight for your faith. Hallelujah. Because the devil is after it. And man, he knows that if he can destroy your faith, then he's going to destroy everything else. He knows if he can destroy the faith of a man of God, then he can destroy the marriage. Then he can destroy the family. Then he can render it neutral. He can render it ineffective. It's always a fight for your faith. So fight for your faith. That's what he tells Timothy in verse 12. Fight the good fight of the faith. Hallelujah. Fight it. Here's the fourth and last thing. Lay hold of eternal life. Notice it in verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of the eternal life to which you were called. What does that mean? If I'm a born-again child of God, I have eternal life. If you're a born-again child of God, you have eternal life. So what does he mean when he says, lay hold of eternal life? Well, there's only one person who gives us eternal life. There's only one person who possesses eternal life. And his name is Jesus Christ. So if I am going to lay hold upon eternal life, then that means I have to lay hold upon the person of Jesus Christ. Notice what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 and verse 13. Listen carefully. This is incredible insight. He says, not that I have now attained this ideal or have already been made perfect. Now, this is a spiritual giant who's saying this. He said, but I press on to lay hold of grasp and make my own that for which Christ Jesus, the Messiah, has laid hold of me and made me his own. Now just think of that for a second. Because he's saying Jesus Christ reached his hand down into my life, snatched me out of darkness, snatched me out of sin, snatched me out of the power of death, made me his own, put his stamp of redemption upon me. He says, so now I must have that very same attitude. I must chase him. I must pursue him. I must lay hold upon the very one who has laid hold of me. He goes on and he says, I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet. But one thing I do, it is my one aspiration. So here, man, this is incredible insight. Lay hold upon eternal life. Four action points to go the distance. And if you're not going the distance, my friend, it's because you have failed in some of these areas. But you can get it right. You can get back on the path. You can right now, today, make a choice and a decision to fulfill this. He said, I forget what lies behind, and I strain forward to what lies ahead. Isn't it amazing how the devil always tries to keep us living in our past? Always brings up, well, do you remember what you did? Do you remember how you lived? How could you do what you did? I mean, we fight those kind of voices from the realm of darkness. Always bringing up the past. Always wanting to hinder us by the past. Whatever trauma of life we've gone through, whatever we've dealt with, he wants to keep us in the past. But what did Paul say? He said, I'm forgetting all of that. He said, and I am straining forward. He's a runner, remember. He's in the long distance race. He said, I'm straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. Never let go of Jesus, my friends. Whatever you go through in this, whatever trial, whatever tribulation, whatever situation of life you find yourself in, never let go of Jesus. You keep holding on. Keep holding tight. Hallelujah. Because everything the devil brings at us, destroy your faith, disconnect you. Yeah, isolate you. He wants you to think that there's no hope, you know, there's no future, there's no victory, and it's all a lie. Lay hold upon eternal life, he said. If we'll do these four things, we will go the distance.